but not just the weather, with all things in life. Like when my husband Tom is going to be late home from work. If I know it's coming, I have the right mindset going into the evening and I'm able to plan accordingly, as long as I'm expecting it. And even when an unplanned later evening at work happens, if Tom gives me a heads up when he realizes it, I can adjust my expectations and redirect my plans. But every once in a great while, something happens where Tom is going to be late. And for reasons of varying validity, he's unable to let me know of this change in plans so that I can shift my expectations. This was particularly difficult when our kids were little. I would go about our evening with the kids as if Daddy would be home around 5 and Mommy can have a little help at 5. And 5 o'clock passes, and 5:15 passes, and 5:30 passes, and Mommy struggles with all sorts of feelings. Beginning with concern, wondering, is he okay? Did he get in an accident on the way home? And then, once I would get a hold of Tom and was assured that he is alive and well, along with my relief, I would move towards feelings of irritation. Because my evening was much more difficult because it was oriented around the expectation that he would be home at 5. And by the time he did get home, I would have to fight against the urge to punish him and make him keenly aware of the frustration that I was experiencing. Tom and I both learned pretty early in marriage how important expectations are, how important it is that they are communicated well, how important it is to hold them loosely, and how important it is to communicate changes and respond with grace. Expectations are great. But there are a lot of problems with expectations. Like, sometimes we have expectations that we don't even realize until they are unmet. Sometimes we create false expectations based on our desires and our limited perspective rather than on reality, which are eventually and inevitably upset, leading to frustration, brokenness, and even sometimes wrong beliefs. Last week, we celebrated Easter and the resurrection of Jesus, a joyous occasion for all who follow Jesus today. We have the privilege of seeing the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus in the fullness and the richness of the entire story, and in the context of the prophecies that led up to it, as well as all of the events that followed it. We have clear expectations of Jesus in this because we can see the whole story. It wasn't quite the same for the people who lived in the time of Jesus. They did have the context of the prophecies to inform their expectations, but whether they realized it or not, their expectations were shaded by their limited perspective and their desire to see their people delivered from their current persecution and political oppression by Rome. The Jewish people had clear expectations of who the Messiah would be and what their Savior would do for them. But unfortunately, their expectations were upset by Jesus. They expected their Messiah to be a conquering king, not a suffering servant, when in reality, he was both. He suffered death to conquer it. The religious leaders expected the Messiah to affirm their righteousness and good work and come alongside them in their work, not to call them out for their hypocrisy. Though Jesus fulfilled every prophecy made about the Messiah, he did not fulfill the expectations of the Jews. Just look at the bookends of his life. Jesus did not begin or end his life as one would expect from a king. The circumstances of Jesus' birth upset the expectations of the Jews. In Luke 2, verses 4 to 6, it says, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. He was born in a humble barn, not what you would expect for a king." Prophecies were fulfilled, but perhaps not the expectation. The Gospel of Matthew begins with the genealogy of Christ, with a purpose of establishing Jesus as a descendant of David, as the prophecy said of the Messiah. And the genealogy ends with these words, "And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who was called the Messiah. He was of the line of David, but not of blood. His Davidic lineage was through adoption by his earthly father, Joseph." The prophecy was fulfilled, but perhaps not the expectation. In Matthew 2, 13 to 15, after speaking of the visit of the Magi, it says, "When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said, 'take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" Jesus was born with an enemy seeking his life, sending his family to live as refugees in Egypt. Prophecy fulfilled, but perhaps not the expectation of their Messiah, the King. Not exactly the start that one would expect for the King of Kings, the one that they had been waiting for. On the other bookend of Jesus's life, the circumstances of Jesus's death also upset expectations. Our main text from today comes from Luke 23. And starting in verse 33, you can follow along on the screen, it says, "When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots." After living a perfect life, Jesus was sentenced to a criminal's death, a public, humiliating, excruciating, slow death. Prophecies fulfilled, but perhaps not the expectation. It goes on in 35 to say, "The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' He was scorned and mocked by many who worshiped him with palms the week before. And the mockery was of his identity as the Messiah and King. Prophecy fulfilled, but perhaps not the expectation. Ironically, this prophecy was fulfilled by people with upset expectations. Verse 38 goes on to say, "There was a written notice above him which read, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. 'Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Do you not fear God?' he said, 'since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.'" Jesus did have the power to save himself in that moment. He could have come down from the cross, displaying his power and solidifying right there in that moment to those people his identity. Instead, he stayed on the cross and embraced his death in order to conquer it. Prophecy fulfilled, but perhaps not the expectation. None of this was what the people had in mind of their Messiah, of his plan to save his people and redeem the world. The expectations were of a rescue from their earthly predicament, their woes and suffering, a warrior king to free them from the rule of the Romans. The reality was of a rescue of their spiritual predicament, their sin and brokenness, a humble king willing to take on their suffering to save them. They wanted political freedom, law and order style. Jesus brought freedom from the law of sin and death. Jesus's life was bookended by circumstances that upset expectations, and what happened in the middle wasn't much different. He spent time with tax collectors and sinners while he rebuked the most religious of the time. He extended grace where harsh punishment was deserved and expected. He taught about his kingdom where the first will be last and the last will be first, where the child leads, where the servant has the greatest role. He turned everything upside down, even the tables in the temple. Much of what he did was surprising at best and upsetting at worst. His life upset Jewish expectations in the same way that his birth and death did. The Jews' expectations were formed by their misguided hope in the temporal. They were viewing Jesus through the filter of their hope in their circumstances, rather than viewing their circumstances through the filter of their hope in Jesus. And their response was to crucify him. As I said before, it's different for us because we get to read the whole story at once. We get to see how everything that Jesus did fit into God's rescue plan. We get to know about the resurrection without waiting 3 days. Jesus meets our expectations of his birth, his life, and his death because we have the context of what happened next. That's not the case with our own lives. We don't get to see the whole story at once. We only get to see what's happened so far. We don't get to see how our lives fit into God's rescue plan. We only get to experience what's happening in the moment. We don't get to see the end of our suffering, let alone its purpose. And sometimes these gaps in our perspective, coupled with our desires for relief or resolution from our present suffering, form the expectations that we have of God, of his intervention in our lives, of what he ought to do if he is who he says he is. Oftentimes, we have unmet or upset expectations, where what seems reasonable and logic to us in the context of our own circumstances doesn't play out in the way that we'd hoped. Sometimes what we expect just doesn't happen, and our expectations are unmet. the person who finds himself still single at an age that he always expected to be married. Unmet expectations. The couple who plan to have three kids going through their third round of unsuccessful IVF. Unmet expectations. Other times, what we expect to happen gets ripped out from under us. Everything gets turned upside down and our expectations are upset. The person who learns that her coworker got the promotion that she had been promised. Upset expectations. The couple who promised to love and cherish one another till death do us part, divorcing after 13 years of marriage. Upset expectations. The healthy person suddenly diagnosed with terminal cancer. Upset expectations. For various reasons, like many others in this time, my family has been in a particularly difficult season of upset expectations over the past year and a half. I'll spare you the saga. But throughout this time, I have had a few well-intentioned Jesus followers try to comfort me with words such as, things won't always be this hard, or hang in there, God will be faithful to you and bring you out of this. I know that they meant well, but all I can think in response to those words is, where is it written? What are you basing those expectations of God and his intervention in my life upon? Because when I look at scripture, I can't find any place that God promises Jesus followers anything about pleasant earthly circumstances or a life of ease. On the contrary, I can find loads of promises that life is going to be hard, the straight and narrow. John 16:33, Jesus said to his disciples, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." He did not promise earthly relief or resolution. He promised struggle in this world. Luke 9:23 says, "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me.'" He did not call us to a life of comfort. He called us to deny ourselves. He called us to take up our cross daily, to surrender our lives to him, even if it means suffering or death. Because look what he did for us. Jesus made it clear that the life of following him would not be easy. Thinking otherwise would be incorrect and even dangerous. It creates false expectations of Jesus, similar to that of the first century Jews, that his purpose is in saving us from our earthly perils, that he will deliver us from our discomfort. But that doesn't always happen. The dangerous thinking of deliverance from earthly woes also creates false expectations of what it looks like to follow Jesus. That if we hold up our end of the bargain and follow him, he will bring about good things for our lives, which is simply not true. He does promise to work all things for the good of those who love him, but it's for the eternal good of the collective people, and that doesn't always translate into our lives in the way that we'd like. It's dangerous thinking because it's a false gospel. And this false gospel leads people to think that if things are tough, they must not be doing enough for Jesus, and they must have weak faith. Or, on the other hand, if things are going well, they must be doing enough for Jesus, and they must have a strong faith. Then these same people tend to inflict this judgment on others around them. It's a merit-based false gospel, and it's not good news. The true gospel is grace-based, and that's good news, even in the midst of troubles. He promises that we will face troubles, but he also promises his presence with us in the midst of those troubles. I will be with you is a promise from God made to his people all throughout the Old and New Testaments. False expectations of Jesus and of a life of following him will be upset. The reality is that in our flesh, we all have false expectations from time to time. Expectations that life will happen the way that we want it to, or that when things go wrong, God will sort it out and make things better. Because we are limited in our perspective and clouded by our desires, we can't always have right expectations. So it's important that we recognize what they are, that we correct them when necessary, that we hold them loosely, and that we respond well if they are unmet or upset. We're going to take a moment now to pray and reflect on this idea of expectations. Nicole McClurg is going to come up and lead us in this process.
Morning. So this is an opportunity where we get to take what we've heard and been.
Honestly, when I think about the bookends of Jesus's life and everything in the middle, very little of it seems fitting for a king, for the Messiah. It's no wonder that the Jews' expectations were upset by him. Frankly, he had a rough life from beginning to end, highlighted by the fact that he was born to die. The cross was the purpose of the manger. Amazingly, Jesus knew this. He expected it. And still, he went through with it all. The enemies, the conflict, the suffering, the horrific death, because his hope was not in the temporary. His hope was in the eternal, the scope of the great rescue. And his comfort was not in his earthly circumstances. It was in the presence of his Father as he endured his earthly circumstances. So he hung on the cross. Hebrews 12:2 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." He saw the joy before him, the culmination of the great rescue. He endured the cross for its purpose in God's plan to redeem the world. Rather than saving himself as he could have, he sacrificed himself to save the world. Not just the faithful ones weeping at the foot of the cross as he died. The world, including the ones who nailed him to the cross as they reacted to upset expectations. And he asked his Father to forgive them, including the criminal crucified next to him. The last two verses of our text this morning end in 42 and 43. And it says, "Then he," the criminal next to him, "said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Jesus had right expectations of his birth, his death, and everything in between. It was rough. But his hope was in the eternal purposes of God, and his comfort was in the presence of God, and so he endured. A couple of weeks ago, during Holy Week, we were having one of those one thing after another kind of weeks. And on Good Friday, I was helping lead worship at the boys' school when I got a call from CarX, where our car had been in this diagnostic process to figure out why our air conditioner wasn't working. And I went over to the side and took this call, and as they explained to me that it was the compressor and that it would cost almost $900 to fix it, I was like fighting with everything I had to not cry. And I failed miserably. I started crying in the middle of the gym. Not because it was a big deal, but because it was one of those straw that broke the camel's back kind of moments where I turned around and the only three people left in the gym with me, thankfully, were the three men that I had led worship with. And they were like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "It's not a big deal. I shouldn't even be crying about it. It's just stupid air conditioner and stupid $900. It doesn't even matter. It just feels like a lot at once." And they sweetly came over to me, and one of them reminded me these words: "It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. The temporary will not endure, but the resurrection will." It was the eternal perspective that I needed, acknowledging my pain and frustration in the present, but in the context of our eternal hope in Jesus. Our hope is not what Jesus can do for our earthly lives. It's in what Jesus did for our eternal lives. It's the cross. It's in the resurrection. It's in the greater story of God's redemption of this world and restoration of all things broken. Our comfort is not in our circumstances. It's in the presence of our Heavenly Father in the midst of our circumstances. It's in the shalom peace of God that makes no sense. The sooner that we can come to grips with these truths, the sooner our expectations of Jesus and of a life with Him can be informed by them. And the more readily that we can endure the cross, the earthly cross that we are called to take up daily for the joy set before us of the bigger picture. Right expectations don't take away the pain and suffering of difficult times in our lives, but they do help us embrace the presence of God with us in the midst of it. And they give us the eternal perspective to help us to endure. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." God's purpose is greater than our expectations. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that in your birth, your death, and everything in between, you blew up people's expectations. Thank you for choosing to endure the scorn of those whose expectations you upset. Thank you for staying on the cross, for sacrificing yourself to save us. Thank you for your greater purposes that we cannot fathom and that you are present with us as we take part in them. Please help us to recognize our expectations, change them when necessary, hold them loosely, and embrace your presence when they're unmet or upset. In Jesus' name, amen. God's purposes are greater than your expectations. So hold them loosely and embrace His presence. I leave you with this. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.